Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Kevin Gallagher, the Associate Director for Core Science Systems at the U.S. Geological Survey. Kevin, it's a return engagement for you in some ways for the show. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you, Jason. It's a pleasure. It's great to be back on your program.
So last time we spoke about 2 years ago, you had a different role. You were the Chief Information Officer of USGS. Now you are the Associate Director for Core Science Systems. You have some similar responsibilities, but not all the same. Discuss your new role at USGS and how did it evolve when the big change across all of Interior when it came to the title of CIO?
Well, you may remember from our last interview, the fundamental mission of the USGS is to provide what we call unbiased science for the nation. Our motto is science for a changing world. And so we're at over 400 locations across the U.S., with a wide breadth of science expertise, a huge monitoring network that includes satellites and our seismic and stream gauge networks, projects that monitor wildlife disease, species occurrence, and we have the responsibility of being the nation's civilian mapping agency. And the last time we talked, I was serving as the CIO here at USGS. Since then, under our last director, the USGS had a major realignment. And we realigned our programs in accordance with the science directions that were identified in our Bureau of Science strategy. So this was a major realignment for USGS. It created 7 mission areas that are now focused on natural hazards, water quality and availability, ecosystems, climate change and land use, energy and minerals, environmental health, and what we call core sciences. And so over the last 3 years, I've been serving, as you said, as the Associate Director for Core Science Systems, and that includes the Geologic Mapping Program, the Geological and Geophysical Data Preservation Program, our Topographic Mapping Program, which is the historic legacy of maps in USGS, the Biological Informatics Capacity, our USGS Library, and a number of other important labs like our Core Repository, our Ice Core Lab, and the John Wesley Powell Center. And so as part of this realignment, the cross-cutting and enterprise IT capabilities that would have been overseen by the CIO, like the wide area network, the email system, IT service desk, desktop support, et cetera, they were combined with our administrative functions and aligned with the Department of Interior CIO's office and the departmental IT transformation project that's occurring across the Department of Interior. And that goal is to consolidate enterprise IT across DOI. So in my current role, I oversee these programs whose mission it is to characterize and publish data about the Earth, literally from the geologic structure to the topography to the ecological systems. It's a really cool job.
Sounds like one of those jobs is cool. But here's my question. You were a CIO previously. Now, do you have that experience of, you talk about a lot of mapping, a lot of dealing with data and dealing with other pieces of this. Are you a cartographer by trade?
I'm an IT systems developer by trade. However, since about 1991, of course, I've been incorporating geospatial information systems or some kind of mapping data into the kind of systems that I was developing, first at the Naval Research Lab and then for a long period of time with the Coast Guard.
And it seems like since you've been, as you said, since 1991, part of this mapping environment, the mapping community, it sounds like it made sense for you to kind of go down in that direction. Has there been a big learning curve over the last few years, or did you kind of slide right in and you're just taking maybe a different perspective than maybe some other people who maybe would, from a scientist perspective or a straight mapping perspective?
I've definitely spent a lot of time trying to get to know the field over the last 3 years. I've gone out to the field, particularly in the era of geology and geologic mapping. There's a lot to learn. Some of our best geologic mappers say it takes 30 years to make an excellent geologic mapper. So I've done a lot of both formal and informal training in the discipline, but I've really tried to focus on where I can add value to these programs. We've got some longstanding, really important products in each one of these areas that include geologic map, geologic studies and publications, topographic maps, databases, and portals like our National Geologic Map Database or our Integrated Taxonomic Information System that is the authoritative record for hundreds of thousands of species. to our protected areas database, which classifies public lands and creates the basis for a gap analysis between species, rangeland, and protected habitat. So while I have many responsibilities, my primary focus over the last few years, year and a half for sure, has been focusing on mapping the state of Alaska using modern methods, developing a new program to collect national LIDAR data set that we call our 3D elevation program, and trying to advance data management and some of the data integration goals here at USGS.
All right, sounds like you just gave us a little bit of heads up on your priorities. But first, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will jump into those priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. My guest is Kevin Gallagher, the Associate Director for Core Science Systems at the U.S. Geological Survey.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Kevin Gallagher, the Associate Director for Core Science Systems at the U.S. Geological Survey. Now, Kevin, before break, we're talking a little bit about how your role has changed over the last few years and what you focus on at the U.S. Geological Survey. One of the things you just mentioned was your Mapping Alaska project. That sounds fascinating. As everyone knows, Alaska is our biggest state. Give us a sense of how you are going through that. How are you mapping Alaska?
You're absolutely right. I think a lot of folks forget the size and scale of Alaska. If you layer that over the U.S. and stretch it all the way out, including the Aleutian Islands, it literally covers like two-thirds of the continental U.S. So the massive size of Alaska has made it difficult to map over the years, and the mapping data up there is some 50 or 60 years old. And of course, it's also, you know, as we know, part of the Arctic. And what's happening worldwide in the Arctic is massive change. It's kind of ground zero for climate change. It's opening up to oil and gas and development. It's opening up to fisheries because some of the sea ice is melting, making some of the greatest natural habitat and fisheries available for exploitation like it's never been before. And so there's a lot of big policy questions, there's aviation safety questions, there's resource management decisions that have to be made. And so one of our goals for a while has been to get back to Alaska and to update the data there using modern techniques. And so to that end, over the last year and a half, I've worked through the Department of Interior, our Assistant Secretary for Water and Science, Ann Castle, who has supported us very strongly and has chaired what we call an Alaska Mapping Executive Committee, which has membership from a number of about 12 different federal agencies, and as also seated on it is the Lieutenant Governor of Alaska. And we've been pooling our resources and partnering through a single acquisition strategy to fly the state with IFSAR, Interferometric Synthetic Aperture Radar, to get brand new high-resolution elevation data. We've been working through a partnership with other federal agencies in the state to update hydrography data sets and to acquire transportation data. And we're just now starting to release a brand new digital topographic series for Alaska. So it's really exciting. We're about 40% of the state is covered with the critical data we need. So we've got it phased out to be a 3 to 4 year project, depending on resources. Some of the maps that are coming out now, a resolution of data like Alaska has never seen, and it's going to make dramatic improvements to the way that we look at the state, the way we manage the state, and the decisions we make over the next few years.
Now, the most obvious question is, have you gotten a chance to go to Alaska?
That is a great question. Under this project, I have not been to Alaska yet. I have been to Alaska. I was actually, when I was the CIO, I was working on enhancing the IT network for the Volcano Observatory up there, and I was able to make a trip up there. Let's just say, under the current resource constraints that we have with sequestration, one of the things we've really done is cut back and limited travel, and so I haven't had an opportunity to get out into the field up there, but hopefully before the project is finished, I'll have a chance to get up there.
All right, very nice. I've heard it's beautiful, never been there myself, but obviously it's one of those, if you will, bucket list places to go. You mentioned data a lot, data around Alaska you've never seen before, and I'm sure that that's just one piece of it. Data across the USGS is huge. It's probably your most important treasure in many respects. Discuss the new data management plan strategy that you guys, recently put out.
Data and information is a key deliverable for the USGS. People really rely on our data, and therefore it's critical that it's scientifically accurate, that it's appropriately peer-reviewed and quality assured before it's released. And so towards that end, we have for a while now documented what we call fundamental science practices that include policy on quality assuring data, making sure it's peer-reviewed prior to publication. And it's there in that fundamental science practices policy that we're currently developing the next generation of our data management policy. So we have drafted a data management policy today that addresses the full life cycle. So the key elements include planning for data acquisition, data preservation, publishing and sharing the data, describing it through metadata and cataloging it, managing quality, and of course, infrastructure issues like backup and securing the data. So we're trying to take a very holistic approach. Internally, we've developed a data management website that includes access to our policy as well as training and best practices. And this is one of the big challenges because, you know, I mentioned that we do collect a lot of data. As scientists, that's one of the first steps in the scientific process after hypothesis is collecting data. But oftentimes the projects are challenged for a resource reason or maybe a lack of understanding of how to plan for the use of that data through its full life cycle. So we're trying to fill that gap. And as you know, there's several drivers across the federal government right now. There's the President's executive order on making data open and machine readable. There's the John Holdren, who's the head of the Office of Science and Technology Policy memo, increasing access to federally funded research. And there's an OMB memo on open data policy. So there's a lot of drivers. And what we're working on now is not only a plan that we hope meets our internal needs, but that will address some of those external requirements that are coming down.
Took my next question a little bit because I wanted to know about how the idea of open data is impacting how you guys put out your data. Because as you said, you go peer review, you're really committed to scientific research and the scientific method to make sure data is quality and assured and has integrity. But at the same time, there is this push to put out data more quickly. And even if it's not perfect, still get it out there because you never know who will, you know, develop the next GPS, as I think federal CIO Stephen Roeckel likes to say. How are you balance those two needs?
There has been a lot going on in data management over the last few years, the whole direction of the cloud, you know, mobile computing, and really a fundamental shift toward, even in science research, toward data-centric research. In other words, in the past, data has been thought of as something you collect to support a single project, and we're seeing, while that's still true, and I think that'll always be true, we're seeing this emergence of if there's a way to access multiple sources of data across multiple disciplines, then there's a way to actually do data-driven science, where you can, instead of actually collecting the data yourself, you can mash up and integrate data across disciplines and make new discoveries in that way. So we're working on a lot of things across the board in this area. So one thing, we're partnering a lot with different leaders across the federal sector. We've been one of the first, and we continue to populate our data on data.gov, both our raw data and metadata with links to our USGS data sets. We've been working, again, through our Assistant Secretary of Water and Sciences, the chair, our co-chair of the Federal Geographic Data Committee, along with Scott Bernard he's Enterprise Architect at OMB, and Jerry Johnson, who's the GIO at DOI. We've been leading the development of the geospatial platform. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but the goal of the platform is to make it easier to publish and share geospatial data and to collaborate via these communities that we've developed that can visualize and view and do geospatial analysis online in a web environment. And then what we're trying to do internally is really focus on making our data. So we've again, we've made our data available for years in different ways. I mean, in the beginning, we actually had a data series that was a hard copy publication. You can still find it today in our library, examples of it, and it would be literally a paper publication, and you could scroll through pages and pages of data tables. What we're trying to do now is we're trying to move away from either paper or even single system interfaces toward a web services interface and a cataloging behind all of our data sets so it's more easily discoverable and accessible. And the example I'd love to give you is our national map database. I mentioned the topographic program and the big shift from paper maps and cartography to GIS and digital delivery. And one of the major results of that has been this massive national map database, which combines all these GIS layers that make up our national map and feed our products like the digital topo product. So we have elevation, a layer, transportation. We have layers for hydrography, for contours, for land cover. And they come together and they make a map. So there's a viewer that allows you to provide access to there. But the other thing we do, we serve it out through a web service. So this is relatively new. And just this year, an example of how this works, the mobile map developers have found that web map feature service now. And on the Android device, on the iOS device, on Garmin devices, you can now download an app, and with a click of a button, you can point toward that USGS National Map resource, and you can pull up the authoritative, super high resolution data that is beyond what you get on, you know, on a typical Google layer or, you know, other source that's out there. And it's fully integrated into the mobile environment. And from my perspective, internally, we didn't do anything to develop that capability other than advertise this data through a web service. So it's a real good example of how government data can be made more open, more mobile by adopting this machine readability, published through web services kind of channel, other than trying to build an application myself that would do something like that. So this is an example I'm giving you of a direction that we're now pursuing across USGS.
So it's a fascinating example, and one I would encourage you to pass along to your friends at OMB so they could stop telling us about GIS. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about data and get into some of your other programs, such as the 3D Elevation Program. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Kevin Gallagher, the Associate Director for Core Science Systems at the U.S. Geological Survey.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also,
that bid protest on the DoD contract.
Right. But did you know
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about
OMB's digital strategy?
Jeez. How do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Kevin Gallagher, the Associate Director for Core Science Systems at the U.S. Geological Survey. Now, Kevin, before break, we were talking a lot about data. You gave us a great example of how the USGS's data is actually being used in the private sector. But during that description, you also talked about a draft data policy that's almost done. Give me a sense, when will that be done, and how is that going to impact what you guys are doing to meet your mission?
The high-level policy is drafted. In fact, over the next month or two, we're going to be doing an internal review with the executive leadership team at USGS, and then I hope to really have it published as part of the USGS manual. That's a manual that is internal policy to USGS employees. Also hoping that that strategy is going to form the basis for our response to some of those external drivers I mentioned. So, for example, the John Holdren memo that requires federally funded research institutions of over $100 million to develop a data management plan. All those same principles apply toward the plan that we'll develop moving forward to comply with that. So that's, in a nutshell, where we are with timing. Now, I mentioned the different phases. We're talking about the full life cycle here of planning, data preservation, publishing, and sharing. So I also have working groups that I'm planning over the next year and a half to get more focused on some of those issues. So, you know, describing data, developing metadata and cataloging data, I'd not only want to have a policy, but I want to have a set of specific instructions, if you will, standard operating procedures, best practices, so that scientists have a resource they can call upon. Not only they're looking at the policy, but they're looking at examples of how to get there.
Are you working with other either scientific agencies or just other agencies that deal with large amounts of data on this idea of describing data and metadata and policy instructions?
Absolutely. We're working with so many different partner organizations. A lot of folks are coming to this realization at the same time. The technology is finally here where cataloging our data and really sharing it in a distributed data network is just right there and available to us. So you're seeing organizations like NSF promote EarthCube, and we're partnered with them in that. We're partnered with the Association of State Geologists in a distributed data network called the Geosciences Information Network. So what I'm seeing across the community is a lot of recognition. ESIP, the Earth Science Information Partnership, lest I forget them, where we're all driving toward the same end goal here, and we're all looking at some of the latest technologies and best practices as the way to get there.
Let me shift over to one of your other priorities. There's something called the 3D Elevation Program. Let's discuss that effort a little bit. Tell me more about it. How does it work, and what's your role?
So Elevation is a key data set for the nation. We refer to it as topography, and from the early days of the USGS, created in 1879, we were sent out to the West to survey the nation, bring that data and information back, publish maps, and really stimulate economic development throughout the country. And what a 3D Elevation Program is all about is a brand new, really groundbreaking technology called LIDAR. It's light detection and ranging. That's what that means. And it's a way to capture a modern topography survey like we could never imagine before. This is an instrument that's flown generally, although it can be ground-based, and there's research into making it satellite-based. You know, today's technology is pretty much flown. It's an instrument that shoots 300,000 pulses of light per second down at the Earth, and it returns a reflected signal back that creates a three-dimensional representation of the real world. So it's amazing. When you look at the data, you see buildings and roads and structures and trees, mountains and rivers, etc., and you can visualize this data and navigate through this data set as if you're navigating through the real world. And so what this has done is it's created this explosion of applications that some are old but enhanced and some are brand new. So, for example, flood inundation modeling has always been something that relies on elevation data. Accurate elevation data is really important for aviation safety. And so super high resolution, we're talking about being able to be accurate within 3 to 5 centimeters on the Earth. That level of accuracy enhances all those existing applications. But what's really exciting is all these new applications that are coming out. For example, intelligent vehicle navigation. Car companies are actually experimenting with elevation-aware transmissions that are going to shift our cars differently in the future based on elevation to create higher fuel efficiency. The agriculture community is developing techniques for precision agriculture, where detailed knowledge of the slope of a particular field is going to change the way they apply nutrients or plant seeds so that there's less runoff or less contaminant distribution. There's all these industries focusing on pipeline or other infrastructure routing based on newer and higher resolution elevation data. And I could go on in terms of the applications of this data. And so what we've been doing, we started about a year and a half ago, and we did a national assessment. We call it the NEA, National Enhanced Elevation Assessment. We partnered with other agencies, and we did an inventory of all publicly available LIDAR. And it turns out about 28% of the country has LIDAR of one format or another. The challenge, of course, is covering the other 70% of the country and covering it in a high enough resolution that some of those applications I just discussed would be actionable would be available. And so we've developed this partnership with other federal agencies, including FEMA and NOAA, the Army Corps, NRCS, et cetera, to acquire this national data set of LIDAR. And we have a 3D executive forum that meets regularly. We've gotten a lot of traction around this issue. We, for example, have been identified in the president's budget for a $9 million increase to support the 3DEP program. And we've gotten a number of endorsements, both from the private industry, from associations, so the National Geospatial Advisory Committee, the Geospatial Information Officers at the county level, the Association of State Geologists, the Community of Geospatial Organizations, the Association of Floodplain Managers, and on, have all endorsed this program as the way to go to coordinate across the federal government the acquisition of this new technology. We're proposing a single acquisition strategy that uses the private sector to fly all these aircraft, so it stimulates jobs in the short term, and it creates a data set that no doubt will be historic if we can pull this off, because it'll not only be a once-over snapshot of the land as it is, which has all this value to these applications I just described, but I think it'll generate a whole legacy of new innovative ideas on how to use this data. So it's something we're really excited about. We're putting a lot of energy into it.
All right. Well, we are almost out of time. Before I let you go, you also mentioned something about an acquisition strategy and a possible solicitation coming out. Give me a sense, how should vendors work with your office now that things have changed in the way that IT is done at the interior level? There's also changed the way vendors should work with you at USGS.
First of all, we believe in sticking to our core competencies and leveraging the private sector for both commodity services and for innovation. So we have strong partnerships with vendors. I'll give you an example. We have a geospatial products and services contract that we use to acquire geospatial data. So some of those things I mentioned, IFSAR, LIDAR, imagery, and other geospatial services, we use this contract. It's got a high contract ceiling, and it's open to any other federal agency, or it's even open to state and local governments, too. In fact, that's one of the ways that we collaborate with state and locals to procure data in a partnership. Over the next year and a half, we're going to be working towards recompeting that contract. It's competed every 5 years, and so I think vendors can look for that happening. We also contract internally for technical services across the programs that I oversee. So we're always open to creative partnerships. Back in the 90s, we rather famously developed a CRADA, a Cooperative Research and Technology Agreement with Microsoft, where we released all of our imagery in what was then known as a Terra server. And many credit that effort with launching a whole new era in access to geospatial data. So if any vendor is interested in understanding Core Science Systems, our strategic plan, or the direction and our priorities, we do have a strategic plan that is available at the USGS homepage, and that's a good source for the kinds of directions that we're pursuing.
But unfortunately, we are out of time. You've been listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Kevin Gallagher, the Associate Director for Core Science Systems at the U.S. Geological Survey. Kevin, thank you so much for your return engagement to the show.
Thank you, Jason. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.